C'est le murmure de l'eau qui chante, 2002. Louise Bourgeois chants her voice on trains, singing her own body into the space, over her own body, under her own body, doubling up, going in circles and moving on. C'est le murmure de l'eau qui chante, c'est le murmure de l'eau qui chante, c'est le murmure de l'eau qui me remplit de joie. Through repetition, singing almost the same but not quite, she builds a time-space, an environment made of the time of her voice that I share in the space of her song. I imagine her to be there always, practicing, singing as a trial of the words that have meaning, lose meaning and get new meanings in the context of her voice and my encounter with it. Her singing does not sing a text but finds a path through lyrics that do not seem settled there beforehand, but develop as she sings into her own formless form. To sing them is not to propose them as a text, but to create them and to trigger the creation of what they might be in our auditory imagination. De faire le tour de la maison me fait beaucoup de bien. C'est la bouillotte qui marmotte, qui me dit ses secrets. C'est la bouillotte qui frissonne, qui fredonne, qui ronronne, qui sifflotte. Elle ne me dit pas ses secrets, elle me dit tout ce secret. Her body murmuring the water and exploring the house to hear secrets of things that cease to be inanimate objects but attain an agency, a personality that removes them from the object of their name into the action of their perception. They become the holders of secret lives and thoughts that they divulge and keep to themselves and that give her joy to visit, to walk through the water into the house. They become the holders of secret lives and thoughts that they divulge and keep to themselves. And that give her joy to visit, to walk through the water into the house, to be with those things, thinking anew all the time. The lyrics might seem trivial, nonsense rhymes about nothing in particular, but they rhyme together a scene and environment that allows us, among other things, to be with Bourgeois, to be with her body, as in one of her cells, intimately sharing the secrets of the house and sharing the secrets of her cells. Sometimes we cannot hear what is being said, overlapping voices cancelling each other out, stopping each other's flow and beginning another one. But the directness of her untrained voice has a body, the body of her skin, the flesh of an older woman's voice that holds a different power. It is not the power of music, of song itself, but the power of the encounter with a life lived in the sensuous environment of materials, works, words, symbols and memories that come to mean so many things and build an aesthetic knowing that goes beyond words into the things to meet their agency singing, sensuous ambiguity starting again and again, going in circles around itself, yet moving forward. She sings a journey from the water through the house that meets all its objects to end up in their secret and to lose their form, their names, the shape of language too. The voice is in practice, practicing, trying the lyrics on a high octave, and then, yes, we can take it lower. It is a trial of the body, of the voice, of the words and their signification, not as a semiotic exercise, but as a sensuous meeting with the thing of language in the rhythm of the flesh towards the agency of the things that reciprocate the movement with their own thinging in her voice and in our audition. The endless mobility of Bourgeois' words and my listening produces the poetics of Julia Kristeva signifying practice, appending territories, extending her body and words into the rhythm of my experience. But it does not let us know about it. Its textual practice is experienced rather than thought. Theory does not grasp the rhythms, only supposed outline, from which we cannot enter the cell, the environment of the song, but only think it as a trope, as a method. Better to stand inside, to inhabit its uncertain walls, to practice its experience and meet other words later that are not clear and unambiguous, but mirror the ambiguity of the place she builds and keeps on building. In a phenomenological signifying practice that needs no name but produces the object from the possibility of its thing. Bourgeois' chant adds a voice, a body to her cells. The delicate but powerful skin of her flesh inhabiting the complex environments concurrently with her visitors. Direct, explicit, here. Imperfect, unstable, not a musical object nor an artistic object, but a formless thing of the body thinging the voice and all it carries of the body into the time-space of the environment to reciprocate it in its fleshly stuff. Sound allows me to inhabit simultaneously, sensorially, and sensuously the cells she builds from things. In song, I am with her, concurrently, negotiating my life world vis-à-vis hers. Invisibly, we lose both our transparency and become each other's imagination. Who are you? And who am I? And what are we made of? And what could we have been and be instead? The voice goes round and round the object to end in vowels and rhythms without words, emptying out all it was and filling it with new possibilities that sit in a voice of consonant and rhymes, continually nothing that can be anything, a voice of round shapes of many cells. The objects left behind in a context that leaves them be something else. Bourgeois sings a cell, sings in the cell, a cell that we inhabit in listening, that we go along in her rhythm, her pace and voice more important than the words and what they might reference as useful, real, pragmatic objects. From the contingent negotiation of her private worlds, my own world becomes extended not into a trivial fiction but into a sonic fiction that generates from the possibility of all her stuff an actual world for me. Through her song I walk through the private world of my house and generate it from its secrets rather than from what is obvious, to live in the ambiguity of its possibility rather than settle for the syntax of its clarity. Qui me fait beaucoup de bien.